Good morning. You're right, Pastor Rob, they are a good-looking congregation. You may be seated. Pastor Rob, if Pastor Denise is keeping you young, she's not doing a very good job, I don't think. Praise the Lord. So Pastor Rob is just ahead of me with everything. He's a little bit older. He was born before me. He got married before me. He's been married 50 years before me. That's coming up in April for us. And he'll probably reach 80 before me. And I assume he'll have his place in the nursing home before me as well. So, Pastor, I honour you for going first in all things. Praise the Lord. It's a great privilege to be here this morning and to share the word of the Lord with you and tell you a few stories about what we do missions-wise. Life has not been easy for us, but it's been very exciting. We haven't been the richest people on the planet. In fact, when we were in Mount Isa, we were so poor, we found the church mice moving out one day to find a better place to live with a bit more resource. But I have no regrets, in all the things I've done, all the places I've been, and the honour and privilege of serving God over all these years. We're going to show you a video shortly. I've just been in Sri Lanka in January for a few weeks, and we celebrated the 10th year of a youth conference that we were part of starting in 2015. So now is the 10th anniversary. And just to give you a little bit of context about that, if you do ministry in Asia or anywhere, you know that young people aren't that important. In Australia, young people are it, people like me, just 70 plus. But in Asia, unless you're 50, you're not really worth much. Young people aren't considered important. No one really raises young people for ministry. It's just something that's put on the back burner. Well, that's changed in Sri Lanka in the last 10 years, let me tell you. So we had an idea 10 years ago, probably about 11 years ago, to bring Youth Alive Australia to Sri Lanka and have a conference. A new concept, new idea. And so we set about contacting Youth Alive and convincing them to come, which was an interesting journey. We'll talk about maybe some other time. But we finally convinced them to come, and the people in Sri Lanka didn't know what to expect. They had no skills at all with youth conference. They'd never had one. They had no tech skills even, for doing graphic arts and all that. They've got it, but they had never done it for a conference. And so they'd never had a music team. So the Youth Alive brought their best music team across, and it was an incredible success. So for 4 years, Youth Alive came to visit Sri Lanka for that conference in August every year, and it just kept growing up to about 4,000 or 5,000 young people. It was just a tremendous thing. The first year that Youth Alive came and the conference came, in that year, 400 new youth ministries started in churches across Sri Lanka. As pastors grabbed the idea, we can have a youth ministry in the church. And so they had regional training seminars and various other things across Sri Lanka. And it just kept growing. There were some things that happened in the 10 years, like in 2019, we'll go back to 2018. I was unable to attend. I'd fallen off my motorbike out near Birdsville somewhere and broken several bones, so I was unable to fly, but it went on without me. Not that I was ever part of making it happen, I just had the idea. And then 2019, if you remember your news, there were bombs went off in various hotels and churches across Sri Lanka. One of the churches I just preached in a few weeks before. And a bomb went off and killed about 22 kids. Anyway, won't go into that. But, we were unable to have the conference that year. That happened in April. And then we actually didn't have the conference. We had 4 one-night things across the nation in various large cities. And so that was a great success, good attendance. And then, of course, a thing called COVID came along. Anyone remember that? I don't know whether it's a hoax or not now, but anyway, it happened. We all shut down and all that sort of stuff, and they were unable to hold the conference for 2 years, but they had it online via Zoom. In fact, one of the years they had it via Zoom, and I think tens of thousands of young people logged in from all over the world, Spain, Germany, all sorts of places, logged into little old Sri Lanka having a youth conference. Maybe the fact they had Russell Evans as the speaker had something to do with it. But, you know, they organised it. They got it to happen. And then I think last year they had it in 7 locations. So this year is the 10th anniversary. And they decided to have it in an outdoor location, which probably wasn't a good choice. It rained. And it was in a central location. It was a little difficult for people to get there. But having said that, and of course some of the local people got excited about it not being their religion and threw rocks at the stage and various other things. But it happened and it was a roaring success. And we've got a video there we're going to show you about this great event that happened in January. Destination Voice, it's called. Fantastic. So in the end, about 1,500 people turned up. And the exciting thing for me is that's their own worship team now. World class. World class musicians, world class worship. An interesting thing happened earlier this year. I said to you before that they couldn't do any tech. They were just uneducated in doing tech, you know, graphic arts and video and multimedia and stuff for their conference. Earlier this year, they actually supplied the multimedia tech for Youth Alive New South Wales because they're cheaper. So they did it in Sri Lanka and sent it over to New South Wales. It helps that one of the key guys in New South Wales is a Sri Lankan and he knew all about their capabilities. So just wonderful things happening. And, you know, a lot of those guys you saw on stage there are young men and women that have developed since the first conference. Some of the speakers, you've met Heshan, the young man that heads it all up. He was here recently, I think, or late last year. Been here several times, a great young man of God. And he's the guy that's taking it forward. At the moment, he's busy starting a Bible college to raise up young men and women for ministry across the nation of Sri Lanka. So thank you so much. This church has partnered with us in this ministry from day one, financially, and we want to thank you so much. were this church and one other businessman in Australia basically are the key financial contributors to this particular ministry, which has had an incredible impact across the nation. So thank you so much. You even gave a special donation for the conference, and we appreciate that so much. If you didn't know, you know now. Praise the Lord. So since COVID, my wife and I have also been working in Bangladesh, which is a totally different challenge because it's a Muslim country, albeit a very moderate Muslim country. There's not all the headscarves. You see more burqas in Sydney than you do in the capital city of Bangladesh. But you know, having said that, it's quite restrictive in some ways. Churches are legal, but persecuted in many particular places. We don't feel unsafe. We're happy to walk around the streets, you know, on our own, and people seem friendly enough to us. But, you know, we've been doing the same sort of thing there, not so much with youth. We're having a crack at that. In fact, in March this year, I'm taking a young pastor with me, and we're going to launch Emerging Leaders. You've probably heard of that. It's something that was born here in North Queensland, as Pastor Rob was saying. It was born here in North Queensland. It's now statewide, nationwide, and we're trying to launch that in Bangladesh to raise up young leaders. So I'm taking a young man called Pastor Matt, and he's from the church we're part of in Toowoomba, and we're going to be launching that in March. So looking forward to that. But most of the work that we do in both Sri Lanka and Bangladesh is training people in simple discipleship and church planting. And it's hard to know whether you're having any success because there's a language barrier. Interestingly, Bangladesh is a one language country, 170 million people, one language, which does make it a little bit easier. And I've been, in the last 3 years, been going to various regions in Bangladesh and doing these training seminars. I find I get more success going to remote areas because no one else has been there and they think I'm the only bloke who's right. They haven't heard 1,000 other foreign preachers. So I never do these things in capital cities because all the, you know, all the people, all the big shots go to the capital cities and they hear a different voice every week and they don't know which one to follow. So I prefer to go to the more remote areas because there's no confusing voice there. And so I've been going to this one particular area in Bangladesh up in the north. It's a place called Dinajpur. Everyone say that, please. Thank you. You pass. And, you know, I've been there 4 times now. And after I've been there for the second time, the regional leader in that area, a guy called Pastor Etha, he kept contacting me, asking me to come. He can't speak English, but he ring me up and it'll be a five minutes conversation of incoherence. He knew a few bits of English. I know no Bangla, but we'd communicate. He'd say, Pastor, please come, please come. So I've been there 4 times. And the fourth visit was late last year, and I got such a thrill being there. I'm teaching the same stuff, and Pastor Etha, I asked if I could get some testimonies about, you know, what they're doing with what they're hearing. And so Pastor Etha gets up and he's chatting away, and the guy next to me, my interrupter, my interpreter is telling me what's going on and what he's saying. And next minute, Pastor Etha calls up 6 people out of the congregation. And then he starts telling this story. And my interpreter basically gave me the gist of the story. He said, Pastor, you know, I've been dedicated to reaching my area for Jesus. And so I got 5 of my workers together. We prayed and we put an area of 5 kilometers around our village, and there's 5 villages in that area. And so we thought, 5, 5, 5, that's got to be spiritual. So we went out and we preached the gospel in that area. He said, I walked every street, every lane, and I preached the gospel to everybody I could find. I did that for some years and I got no results. Not one convert. But so then, Pastor, you came and you told us about making disciples, how we should make friends and not just preach at people. We should have cups of tea with people. We should build relationship with people because discipleship happens through relationship. And he said, Pastor, these are my 6 disciples I have made in the last 2 years. Hallelujah. And he says, I have another 8. They're out in other villages today. They couldn't come because they're making disciples in those villages. I tell you, I got so excited. Something simple like that. And you know, I think sometimes we all put discipleship in the too hard basket. It's something for pastors and leaders to do. But when Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, he was talking to a bunch of followers, people who were simply interested in following his way of living. There's about 500 in that group just before the ascension. So they weren't all disciples. They hadn't all been with Jesus the whole time. They were just interested enough to be there. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and make disciples. A challenge to every one of us. And here this man stopped, you know, all the heavy-handed preaching and the hellfire and brimstone, just made friends and made disciples. Another guy stood up and he said, through the interpreter, he says, greetings, everybody. I was a hitman for the Muslims. Well, he had my attention. I'm wondering, is he still one of them? Turns out he wasn't, so I could breathe a sigh of relief. And he began to tell his story. He said, one of the pastors, he pointed the pastor out, he came to my, that's not how the story goes. He said, I was in this hit group for the Muslims. Our goal is to make, you know, a Bangladesh like a Taliban style state, you know, strong Muslim teaching. And so I was in this group and I'd never made a kill. I'd never killed anybody, I'd never beaten anybody up, and so I was looking for an opportunity to, you know, make a name for myself. So I heard of this pastor, and he pointed the pastor out in the group there. He said, I went to his house with the intention of doing harm. I knocked on his door. He opened the door, big smile on his face. He said, oh, how are you? And the pastor, big smile, invited him in, have a cup of tea, have a meal, have a big chat with him. He walked out as a believer. I'm so pleased about that. And so now he's making disciples rather than killing pastors. How exciting is that? Now, if I'd known that man was in... If I'd known that man was in the area, I wouldn't have gone there. I'd have sent Robin, but I wouldn't have gone myself. One thing I should tell you about the youth conference before I go on. Do you know that was one of our worst years, personally? At the beginning of that year, I lost my dad. He was 88 years old. I know that's a fair score. The middle of that year, my wife lost her dad. During that year, our eldest son, his wife, had a miscarriage. They were just distraught about that, as you can imagine. And in April of that year, my wife got breast cancer. And this is all before the conference. And so, you know, she's having treatment here in Australia, surgery, chemo, radiation. And, you know, I was reluctant to travel, as you would be. But, you know, when she's in the middle of that treatment, she looked at me in those Danish eyes and said, Pato, get out of here, get back to Sri Lanka and do what God has called us to do. So she's the reason it all happened, really. I didn't want to go, but you know, she's just so courageous and so full of faith, and she insisted I go back to Sri Lanka and do what God had called us to do. Thank you, sweetie. And the rest is history. So we're doing many other things overseas. Another thing we've just started doing is every time I go to Sri Lanka now, I have a suitcase full of spectacles. I don't need them all myself, but I have a friend in the Lions Club in Brisbane, and he rang me up last year and he said, Pato, that's my name. He said, could you distribute spectacles in Sri Lanka? Well, I said, why? He said, well, you know, we get all the used spectacles from Specsavers. They give them to us and we distribute them free of charge. I said, well, I know someone I think could. I got a friend in Sri Lanka, his name is Narrell. And, you know, he knows everything. He knows everybody. If you want to go stay somewhere, he'll know someone with a guest house. If If you need a nut for a left-hand drive screwdriver, he's got it. You know, he just knows everything. So I said, I'll talk to my mate, Narrell. So I rang him up, said, can you? He said, yeah, bring him over. So every time I go now, I take a suitcase full of spectacles. This last trip last year, my wife had some in her suitcases as well. I think we took 600 pairs of spectacles. And we give them to our friend Narrell, and he organises a clinic over in the east of Sri Lanka. He organises with the police social club. So the police were involved. I have a letter from the police in my pocket when I come through customs in case they question a suitcase full of spectacles. Mind you, I've never had my baggage searched in all the years I've been going in, so I didn't expect I would, but I had the letter just in case. And so he will organise this. He's already had one of them last year where they hire an optometrist, and they come in with a testing machine, test all the people and give away spectacles and give sight to the blind in many ways. So that's also something that we do, and part of all the process of what's going on. So I spent 35 years or 33 years in Australia as a pastor, full-time pastor, and now the last 14 years I've been a missionary in Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. And it's been an exciting life. And if you're young here tonight and looking for a career, sign up to be a missionary. No big response, but I'll take that. Look, I want to tell you, it is an exciting life being a missionary. You never know what's about to happen. You never know what to expect. Serving God in this particular capacity is just a great thing to do. And if you are thinking in any way you'd like to be a missionary or you'd like to get involved in missions, you can always give in the local church here. That's great. And I'm sure you do that. But I think maybe some of you should think about coming on a missions trip. One of the first things I did when I got out of Bible college, I went on a missions trip. I finished Bible school in 1973, which is a long time ago. Most of you weren't born by then. And the first thing I did, I went on a missions trip to one of the most difficult countries in the world, the Cook Islands. Pristine beaches, clear water. Yes. Anyway, I got the taste for missions. And then, of course, I had a friend in Bible school who was from Sri Lanka, and that's the connection there. I started doing trips every year as a pastor for all those years. And then eventually it got to me, and I sort of gave up the pastoring and began to do the missionary work. And I have no regrets at all. Been some difficult journeys, difficult times, but it's been great. So this year, my wife and I are celebrating 50 years of marriage in April. And in August, we celebrate 50 years of full-time service. We began as children and youth pastors in Calvary in Townsville all those years ago. And I'm determined that, I'll keep going while the health is still good. I think you can resign from a position, you can resign from a job, but you can't really resign from the call of God. You know, it doesn't mean you have to do the same job until the day you die, but we can't resign from the call of God. There's a verse in Romans 11, 29, it says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That really means in English, it means they're never taken back. They're irrevocable. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm called to be a minister of the gospel till the day I die. I may not always be a missionary. I may not always be a pastor. I can resign from the jobs and the roles, but I can't resign from the call of God. It remains until the day we die. And I believe that, there's many good years ahead. God has a goal for us. And I want to just preach a little bit this morning, just a little bit from the Word of God. And if you could turn with me to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. This is our key verse for this morning. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, you are my dear children, but I agonize in spiritual labor pains once again until the anointed one will be fully formed in your hearts. That's the Passion Translation, in case you didn't recognize it. So this is God's goal for us. God's purpose for us is that Jesus, the anointed one, will be fully formed in us. And I don't know whether you've noticed this at all, but bad stuff happens in our lives. We are led to believe that you become a Christian and nothing bad will ever happen. That is an absolute lie. Of course bad stuff will happen. Life is full of bad stuff. You know, we'll have difficult times. And the reason for that is found in this particular verse, that God wants to fully form Jesus within us. And the thing about the formation of Jesus, it takes trouble and bad stuff for that to happen. No one learns anything when everything's going well. Do you know what I'm talking about? No one learns anything in the good times. We like the good times. Probably someone told you when you come to Jesus, you'll never have any more trouble. They lied to you. It's not true. This verse makes it very clear. Paul was agonizing and praying for these people that Christ would be formed in them. So it's the journey of life that forms Christ in us. It's the bad stuff that forms Christ in us. In fact, that Greek word in the verse there, where Christ is fully formed, is the Greek word metamorphio, which is the word used when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. There's something in the DNA of the caterpillar that at the right time, it forms into something beautiful. And that is such a beautiful picture of what God is trying to do for us. He wants to form us into something magnificent and beautiful and wonderful. But it's all to do with the trouble and strife in life that makes that particularly happen. If it doesn't destroy you, it makes you stronger. We often imagine the journey of life is measured by what God does for us, like miracles and provision and healing and all that sort of stuff. I love those things. But our life is not linear. It's not measured by events. You know, if bad things have happened, that does not mean God has had a holiday or taken off. It doesn't mean that at all. It means God is forming Christ in us. It's part of the journey. And I find so many Christian people measure their life in a linear fashion by the events that take place. You know, I'm having a fantastic week, therefore life is good. God's on the throne and everything's fantastic. Or I'm having a bad week and God's forgotten about me. No, he hasn't. He's forming stuff in you. I know personally that the times in my life I've learnt so much and had Christ formed in me so much is the times when I'm struggling, the difficult times. They're the times we learn. They're the times that God does incredible stuff in us. If you remember King David in the Old Testament, he was called as a young boy to be the king of Israel. But it wasn't until 8 years later that he actually got to the throne. There was lots of difficult times that went on. You know, he went through times where Saul was chasing him and persecuting him and trying to kill him. Friends and all that, all sorts of people were turning against him. And, you know, he was probably asking the question, why? Has anyone ever asked the question, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Well, I'll tell you why. Christ is being formed in you. That's what's going on. It's got nothing to do with God hating you or forgetting about you or something like that. It's just simply God is forming something within you. The reality of life is that we'll have losses, we'll have bad days, we'll have failed plans. I mean, the good days you put on Facebook and Instagram. No one puts their bad days on Facebook and Instagram. If you have a bad day, you ring up Pastor Rob or Pastor Denise. You need a counseling session. Don't ring up my wife for counseling, please. She has a 3-point counseling plan. Get a life, get over it, get out of my office. She never has return visits for counseling. First visit solves it every time. Trouble is she counsels me exactly the same way. I nearly said she cancels me, which is almost the same. So life is not like a journey where you're passing highlights each step of the way. David's life was not like that. He was anointed to be king, but he had lots of trouble to get to the throne. Hiding in caves, all that sort of stuff. It wasn't the glamorous life of a king. So we shouldn't be asking the question, why is this happening to me? But we should be asking, what is God doing in me? What is God forming in me? How is God getting me ready to fulfill his purposes? So we shouldn't see the bumps and the pain as something bad. They're the normal part of my story. If you don't believe me, go back and read Hebrews chapter 11 one more time and tell me how many good things you read about in the lives of those guys there. Is there any? There's not. It's trouble, trouble, trouble. Moses, he just had trouble. You know, he didn't think he could do it for a start. God had to convince him. Then he had a million whinging people for 40 years. I mean, any trouble, but whinging people is the worst. It wasn't easy. Abraham, how much trouble did he have? He's a hero of faith. Couldn't have children. Made a mistake, you know. Had a child with the bondservant. You know, all these difficulties on the journey. Just trouble, 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 trouble. Joseph, all those other guys, just difficulties along the way. Daniel, God formed something in them. They became heroes of faith because they conquered and kept going in bad situations. Do you want to know what faith is? Faith is not giving up when you're in the middle of trouble. That's all it is. I mean, you expect to read Hebrews chapter 11, here I read about all these great miracles, fire coming out of their fingers, the dead being raised, miracles of healing everywhere, miracles. But you know, it's not really that. It's all about guys being in the midst of trouble and trusting God in the midst of the trouble. That's what faith is. It's not about confessing the promises. Nothing wrong with that. It's not about that stuff. It's not about believing God for another million. If you do get the million, support a missionary. It's not about that stuff. That's the cream on the top. Life is all about the journey of faith in life is all about trusting God in the midst of trouble. If you're in the midst of trouble right now, I suspect you're in the plan of God. If things are going too well, be suspicious. Be very, very suspicious. So life formation will not be smooth. You know, the thing about this is you see your own problems better when you're in pain. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You just see yourself more clearly when you're in pain. You're able to address those things more clearly when you're in pain. There's another verse about the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 3. It says, from there David went to Mizpah in Moab and spoke to the king of Moab and said, please let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God is going to do for me. So here is David, you know, he's still in the midst of this journey of learning things and, you know, finding his place as the leader of Israel. And he's still confused. He's thinking about his mum and dad, so he takes them to this guy in, went to Mizpah in Moab, spoke to the king there, and he said, would you look after my parents? I'll give them a place to stay until I learn what God is going to do for me. The word Mizpah means a watch post. So David went to this place and just had a look at what was happening in his life. He had a bit of meditation, a bit of a think, a bit of a consideration about what God is trying to do for me with all this trouble going on in my life. He thought about his parents, made sure they were cared for, but then he just put himself aside for a moment and considered what God was trying to do in his life. Perhaps we should do something like that when we're in trouble. Instead of figuring out who to blame, instead of asking the why question. Do you know, I've never found a satisfactory answer to the why question. There just doesn't seem to be one. Our eldest son, many of you know, the age of 21, 22, got cancer. The why question came out. Why? In fact, my daughter was really distraught about the whole thing and said, "Dad, why is God punishing you like this when you've served him all your life?" Fair question in her mind. But there is no answer to that. God wasn't punishing anybody. It was just part of the journey of life. And we had to learn to trust God in the middle of that. He survived, of course. He's now making heaps of money, giving some to his dad for missions, which is good. He's the church treasurer. I don't think he's pulling the money out of the treasury. But if he was, it's a good cause. I think he's putting more money into the treasury than he would ever have the possibility of taking out. So we can't ask the why question. If you're asking it at the moment, don't. You just need to find a way through. Do what David did. You know, take care of your situation. Make sure you're doing what is necessary to be done in your situation in life. Look after your family. Do your job, all that stuff. Just keep that in mind and keep moving forward with that. But then in your spirit and in your heart, just step aside and think, what is it that the Lord is going to do for me? What is this that the Lord is going to do for you? Suffering builds faith because we realize we can't do this journey of life without God. Only God can create something out of nothing. Martin Luther said these famous words, "When you realize you are nothing, God can make something out of you." When you realize you are nothing, God can make something out of you. You know, we should have suspected and thought that suffering would be a key to the purposes of God for our lives, because the ultimate suffering was Jesus on the cross. And it was out of that incredible suffering that the revelation of God to his people came to pass. We know Jesus. God's gift to us, God's redemption to us, came through suffering of Jesus on the cross. So he set the pattern that, you know, he revealed himself to us through Jesus in the midst of suffering. So we should suspect then the purposes of God for us will also have some suffering attached to it. To discover what God wants to do with us will have some suffering attached to it. The most incredible sacrifice ever made was Jesus. Anything we make would be less, but we should think that somehow through the suffering. Now, I don't want you to go out of here expecting trouble and, you know, saying, you know, I've got to be some sort of a masochist and love trouble. No one likes trouble. It's just part of the journey. We shouldn't get derailed by it. When it comes, we should expect, well, this is my forming. This is my process. This is what God is doing in me. This is how God is forming Christ in me through this particular situation. Don't ask the why. Just look for what God is doing to form Jesus in you. We all have suffering in life. We all have difficulty and trouble. And I'm thankful that I've had my share and been able to allow Christ to be formed in me. I don't have any bitterness in my heart about any of those things. You know, I don't blame anybody. I'm not asking the why question. I'm sure I've got more trouble still coming in front of me. But like me, you should be expecting God to form Christ in you. Hallelujah. Become a missionary. That'll be asking for trouble. Seriously, if you're young here today, you're wondering about your future, consider serving God as a missionary. Come on a missions trip. I think Z will organize one for you. You see her and say, "I want to go on a mission trip," she'll pester me. We'll organize something. Let me finish this morning by just asking a few simple questions for us to consider. First of all, this morning, are you asking the why question? It's only natural to ask it. Don't be mad at yourself for asking. I think we just naturally do that. If you are asking the why question this morning, instead of that, start looking for what God is trying to form in you. Start seeking God to find how Jesus is being formed in you. Second question, are you in a difficult situation at the moment? Then you should be considering, what can I learn from this? How can Christ be formed in me through this situation? The third question this morning, don't give up on the journey. That's the worst thing you can do. You know, one of the things I think about occasionally, in fact, my wife and I just recently were just chatting to each other, and we were just expressing our gratitude and our thanks to God for the journey we have been on. First of all, for our family, we've got three beautiful kids. Ben's not that beautiful, but he's a nice boy. And here he is serving God in a wonderful way, very involved in the life of this church. We're so proud of him and Lisa and the grandkids, those three handsome young roosters, and beautiful Macy. And we've got two other kids, so proud of them. And, you know, they've all got good professions, serving God, you know, and they're not doing drugs, they're not on the grog, they're not in jail. You know, we've got nine grandkids, they're all healthy and strong, fantastically good looking because of the grandpa and the grandma, probably more the grandma than the grandpa. But you know, we're just so thankful for that. We look at some families and the difficulties they're having with their kids through no fault of the parents. They might have some sickness or syndrome or something, you know. And we don't think we're better than people like that. We're just thankful that God has given us a wonderful, healthy family. It's a lot to be thankful for. We're not going to die rich, but we've always had enough to feed ourselves, to feed our family. And, you know, if we ever retire, we'll probably have enough money. You know, we don't worry about this. We're just so thankful for all of that. We don't have any regrets. We don't have any anger about stuff that might have happened. But I look at some of my friends and the difficult journey they're in. I look at my friends from the Bible school days. Probably only a handful are still serving God. The rest have found the journey too difficult and given up the journey somewhere. You know, I don't know why I haven't given up the journey. I've had opportunity to. I'm sure Pastor Rob feels the same way. He's had opportunity to give up and walk away, but he stuck in there, realizing that Christ was being formed in him and that was a purpose that was higher than the circumstances that was going on in his life and Pastor Denise's life. Don't give up the journey. Seek the purpose of God for your life. Don't ask the why questions. There's no answer to them. Look for how Christ is being formed in you. And don't give up the journey. Keep pressing forward. One of my favorite thoughts is, if you fall on your face, you're still moving forward. It's a forward movement. Anyone fall on their face a few times? I'm basically permanently there. Don't give up the journey. Would you stand with me while we pray? Just as we're about to pray today, if God has been speaking to you about something, maybe you're asking the why question or you can't see God's purpose in what's going on at the moment, just join me in this prayer right now as we seek God for a revelation of what's going on. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this wonderful house of wonderful people. Thank you for Pastor Rob and Denise and their faithfulness over a long period of time. And Lord, we just pray for all those that are in a point of asking why or a difficult situation. I pray, oh God, you would bring enlightenment and revelation to our hearts today. Lord, give us a determination not to give up the journey, to keep pressing forward and find your purpose no matter how difficult the situation. Whether it be a health problem, a family problem, a financial problem, a problem of circumstances, a problem of housing even. Lord, we pray you would just keep us focused on the forward journey. Help us not, Lord, to consider and worry and be connected too much to the things that have gone before us, that have hurt us or made us feel depressed or full of regret. Father, keep us focused in our minds and our hearts on that which is before us. Lord, as in the words of Paul, we say, Lord, I forget that which is behind. I press forward to that which is before me. So Father God, I pray for those that are in a point of struggle this morning. You would bless and encourage them and inspire them to keep moving forward. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.